Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Behind the Business Curtain. I am your host, Ryan Hansen, and today I am joined by Darren Flanagan and Jake Mullins, friends of mine, fellow podcasters, serial entrepreneurs, whiskey and beer aficionados, so this is going to be fun. I hope you enjoy the conversation as much as I will. Let's do it.
Now, really quick, thank you, Ryan, for having us on the show. But my attorney said that I have to put forth this disclaimer. Everybody needs to know this is Jake over here.
Yes.
And Darren.
Okay. Now we're
good.
I want everybody to know who the restraining order is going against. It's not me. It's the weird silver-haired Irish guy.
When the cops come in, they're going to know who to go for. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Shoot first, ask questions later.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, gents, I've been a fan of you guys for quite some time. I tried to steal the podcast name Beer and Business, which is the show that you guys run, but you'd already taken it. And so now I got to go find something else and like talk about business all day, which is fun, but not quite as fun as getting to drink every time I'm recording. So,
well, we appreciate your loyalty, man. And yeah, I mean, we locked that one down early. So we love the name and the brand, and it's taken off.
It's a good one. And you're sponsored by a brewery, so it doesn't get much better than that. So I love it.
Guilty.
Guilty.
Yes,
so I'm going to dig this. Last time I came onto your show, we got to talk and nerd out about marketing and software and everything else. So this time I'm going to kind of flip that around. I want to hear your stories. So how you got into business, what you're currently working on, and all things like that. So you guys want to jump right in?
Well, really quick, man. When you came on our show, we got smarter. Okay. So we're going to apologize up front.
We might pull your IQ down by a few points.
I'm going to have my wife listen to that because I don't think that she believes me that I can actually contribute intelligent conversation to anything.
Dude,
so
you are super smart. You have your MBA in what? You went and got your MBA before, right?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you're a smart guy.
Yeah.
Army paid for that.
So for your audience that's listening, you got to go to the Beer and Business Podcast and check out the interview with Ryan. It was really good. So if you want to learn more about him, it was awesome, dude. We really enjoyed the conversation, and we appreciate you coming on. And when you you and I talked about coming on your show, I was like, oh, yeah, done deal, dude. We'd love to do that.
It's going to be fun. Yeah. And I'm still on YouTube. I haven't been shadow banned yet, so people can actually see you guys in action.
you haven't lived until you've been shadow banned, buddy.
Yeah,
we can get you there.
We'll get there. We'll get there. Yeah,
today might be the day.
Yes, one less thing to do.
Yeah.
So let's jump right in. So, Darren, we can kick it off. Why don't you tell us where you were before you started Launch and Go, and kind of how the idea came about for you getting into that business?
Gosh, what was I doing before? Before that, I was actually making people happy.
I do not believe that at all. Like
well, so birthday party clown.
That was almost. It's one and the same. They're kind of synonymous. I used to run the
equally as creepy.
What I used to do is write large checks to people that won the lottery. So I ran the prize payment department for the Georgia Lottery.
Wow.
Yeah, I actually worked for two lotteries, the Florida and Georgia Lottery. So it's, you know, one morning you wake up at 3 o'clock a.m. going, oh, shit, I'm in charge of $1 billion a year.
Can he cuss on your podcast?
Yes, we can. Okay. We can indeed.
So, I used to run the prize payment department at the Georgia Lottery. My claim to fame for a period of time back when I was with the Florida Lottery was that I had paid out the highest single winner in the nation of all lotteries. And then one day I was in Georgia Lottery and somebody else, there was a new winner and it was $5 million more than what I had paid out of.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what's the biggest check you got to write?
$695 million.
Did you personally like hand that to the winners or email them, or how does that even work? That seems like a big deal.
Just flip it over and say, please endorse this over to me. No, it's all done by wires. You do it, you know, everything's a wire transfer.
Okay.
So it's a click of a button. But it is a lot of fun and seeing folks, you know, That's a whole different topic. We can go into that anytime you want, but we can move forward from there.
It would be fun to see $695 million magically appear into my account, Darren.
It's like, boom.
You never asked me.
I know.
Yeah.
I wanted one of those.
What's the movie where the guy wakes up and like goes and checks his ATM and it's like millions? What?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. What movie
You know
is
what I'm
that?
Talking? It's like a scene where it's like, pennies in there one day, and then the next day it's like unlimited funds. Anyway, that would be fun.
Dude,
so
that's going to drive me nuts. I know. I digress. I can't remember it.
It'll pop up like the second we're done. Free guy, that does happen in there, but he has to earn it by killing people.
The same every single day, though. He comes in and he's got like $200 every day.
Can't quite get the shoes. All right, so digress. You're working for the lottery, and then what?
Well, basically, I mean, I had this huge list on my wall in my home office of things that I wanted to do, you know, get to. And it wasn't happening. Mm. You know, I was spending at least 10 hours a week in traffic. So, you know, 40 hours a month. I was spending a full work week just driving in my car back and forth to work.
Ooh, that sounds miserable. Yeah.
Quite miserable. And, you know, at the time I was like, there's gotta be something that can happen. And I've been an entrepreneur before. I've had my own businesses in the past. So there was something that was just kept scratching that, you know, it's like, there's something just pegging you in the back of the head. It's like, you gotta make a change. And I love my job. Do not get me wrong. I absolutely love what I did. But I knew that something was coming along, and finally made that decision. We sat down. I looked at everything, my finances, and said, I've got to start working on this list because I have no time to do it.
Yep.
And so put things in priority of where can I make money first? How long, you know, what is my personal runway to move forward with these things? And I was actually, it was like a week before my quit date. Because I gave I gave the company 2 months notice.
That was generous. Leaving. Yeah.
Well, I wanted to make sure that everything was in place. They were good to me.
They were like, "Can you leave tomorrow?"
Right.
No, I want 2 months.
Should have been sooner. But I wanted to make sure everything was in place as best it could be. And I went to a networking event down here in Peachtree City, and somebody invited me to this, you know, this thing, 1 million cups, and they said it's at a co-working office over the next town over. And I had this light bulb moment because I'd been following co-working offices just as a, you know, my human interest kind of thing for the past couple of years. And I was like, I wonder if Peachtree City could use one of these.
Yeah. Well, that's a normal thing to follow is your human interest things. Yeah. Co-working offices.
I mean, we all nerd out about different things, right?
True story.
Look at Darren's, you know, internet history, llamas, Volkswagen buses, and co-working offices. Like, totally random. And
industrial bundles of duct tape.
That's only good for babysitting.
It is, because silence is golden.
Right.
But silver is just as good sometimes. Yeah.
That's right.
And silver duct tape works just as well.
Yep.
I don't know what you're using it for, Darren.
But hence the restraining orders.
Exactly.
But anyway, yeah, it was one of those moments, and I started doing the research on it and realized that there was an opportunity, and it wasn't even on my list of things to do. Mm-hmm. But it went on the list, and it went to the top of the list, and lo and behold, 8 months later, I opened up Launch and Go.
Sounds like that's a fast runway too. Well done.
Yeah, thanks.
What is okay? So you pursued and got your Launch and Go, the first one started.
Right.
What happens next? How do you attract people? How do you market it to the consumers? What's the next step for somebody that's interested in that world?
You guys,
can I answer this for Darren?
You guys fight it out. Yeah.
So Darren, you know, we're you know, condensing a long story into a short little,
of course,
snippet. Yeah. But he actually did an incredible job with Launch and Go. I mean, it's the location is amazing. It's like right at the busiest intersection in our community. I know I'm looking at the traffic right now. It's ridiculous out the window. It's nuts. But really, really good location. He did an amazing job with the layout. He was working hard to connect people. Like, mm-hmm. everything here was organic. You didn't advertise at all.
I did not.
That's like, wow. The business just exploded and grew. And how long did it take you to rent out all your offices? It was a quick period of
originally,
time.
Originally, it was probably less than, I'll say 6 months, but I know it was sooner than that.
No, I think your plan was 6 months, but it happened in three, right?
It was something like that.
Because I remember
like
we talked about this once.
It was fast.
He like maxed out his capacity in like half the time that he was planning. And it was – he did it right. Like, he got the right location. He went big on it. The location was great. The vibe was good. Darren was working hard just to connect people. And this was like – this was the happening place. Like, this is where entrepreneurs went. This is where people that, you know, needed a place to work outside of their corporate job, they'd stop in here. And it – I mean, you know, it's kind of how we got together and met in the first place. And the first time I realized that he's really – awkward and touches me weird, and I don't like it. But
I learned that from our current president.
You haven't sniffed me yet. When are we going to do that?
I was just going to say, yeah. And there's the shadow band.
That was sorry, Ryan.
The good thing is I didn't use anybody's name, so you're still good with that.
He didn't say the president of what?
Right.
Oh, YouTube. See? You better be listening right.
President of YouTube. Yep. Supreme leader.
But yeah, it was honestly, I mean, people would say, well, you got to have the right marketing plan. My marketing plan was hustling. It was
good.
It was anywhere that I could go to network in front of a group of business people. And I did have a lot of support. There were a lot of people who were that I connected with quickly that wanted to see me help me succeed. So they would invite me to all their network events. And
then cool.
I opened up my doors. I mean, I did basic social media. I was like Instagram, Facebook. That was enough. And it made it even easier because I could just click on one and say, will you repost this on the other platform? That's all I really did. I mean, like Jake said, I had put no money into marketing dollars except a postcard when you came in.
Yeah.
And of course, signs on the building.
And it sucked, dude. I mean, it was terrible.
Horrible. It was just a picture of me going, you know, that was it.
A picture of Darren sells, let me tell you.
Welcome to the Darren Show. Pick a room. I'll meet you in there in a couple minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
rooms by the minute, folks.
That sounds really good to me. I've been there, done that. I had to bring my own sheets, though.
What is this vibrating desk? What the hell is this, Darren?
It was like growing up. You know, you put the quarters in the bed when you at the motel. You
know? Yeah.
Your laptop sliding across the table.
But I did a lot of events here.
Okay.
And that was kind of intentional because that was one thing that this town was lacking. You could go to a hotel, you could go here, pay an astronomical amount to rent an event space. So I undercut them, opened it up. That put a lot of butts in the seats and faces walking through here. And I was here for every single event. Mm-hmm. And it gave me a chance to meet, as Jake said, connect with a lot of people in the community. And, you know, it's the carpe diem, seize the day, but it was seize that moment when they're here and they're walking around and you're like, hey, check it out. And they go, well, tell me about this place. That was a selling feature right there. I had a potential new member that wanted to see the location and we looked, you know, we got to check out the place together. That's what worked for me. That was probably the biggest, you know.
And it was in all the events, you know, Darren and I came to a lot of them too. And
it's because there was free alcohol, Jake, for most of them. That's why you showed up.
I didn't. I don't disagree.
Not a detractor. Yeah.
I'm like, duh. But seriously, you know, Darren and I too. We both became really, really connected to the local business community because, you know, the smart thing about him hosting all these events here is not only is he, you know, creating exposure for the co-working office and, you know, generating revenue, but all these connections are happening. Yeah. And yeah. I feel more connected to this community than I've ever felt to any place ever in my life.
You know when they show a whale or a shark and they have those little feeder fish hanging on?
That's kind of where the symbiotic relationships.
Yeah, that's where Jake was. Every event, he's like, you got another event showing up? And boom, there he was. Just
suckling.
Like,
yeah.
No.
Stole the word right out of my mouth. Yeah.
We actually met before that for different reasons. But And I really appreciate the kind words, Jake. I mean,
you'll never hear him again.
I know I won't.
It's been recorded. It's going to be on the interwebs. Yep. All right. So let's get into, like, what are some of the things that caught you off guard? Like, right as you got started, obviously there's so many, like, systems and processes and SOPs that need to be written. What's, like, one thing that really, like, oh, crap, I didn't know this would be an issue?
Honestly, printers. Giving people access.
Tell me
to
more.
A printer.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I mean, like networking. So dumb.
We just lost 50% of your listeners.
No, I hear you. I'm thinking Office Space. Remember where they take the printer out back and they beat it up? Yeah.
To the Beastie Boys song. Uh-huh. It was so awesome. But no, giving people access to a printer in here was a huge ordeal, I should say, because there are no. Any of your listeners, there are no great software programs that integrate with like my back office software system so everybody can use a printer easily. I mean, I started out with, okay, we got the printer in the system, which never lease a copier/printer. Don't do it.
Lease like from Kodak or whatever. Yeah, or Canon, whoever's making those.
You can never break. Okay?
They know their business.
Best attorney.
Yeah.
But that was the big deal. So originally it was like, we've got it. Here's the thing. And people would come up and they're like, how do I connect? And I'm like, well, what I have to do, you know, we've got to do it through.
You've got to manage it because if you just open it up, yeah. Like people could print like millions of copies
that's what I was going to ask. It's like, why limit it?
How do you keep track of how many free copies you allow them and where's a system to charge them after the fact? And I was doing it manually and they would come to me and I'd have to install their print drivers.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a royal pain in the butt. And I actually, you know what I'm saying?
I do. Yeah.
I finally found a company who does it. "Quote unquote, the best." The best of the worst out there, but it really is the best. That was a huge leap. I mean, it's like, okay, yeah, well, managing all the finer details because when you're doing your projections, you're not really down to the micro expenses.
Sure.
That was the other part of it. So it's like you're doing your projections and everything is major expenses. When am I going to pay for this? When am I going to pay for, you know, utilities and trash and internet?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you get to the minor stuff. Like I offer free coffee and tea in this place.
Uh-huh.
Coffee, tea, and wine. And all of a sudden you go,
okay, that was thousands of dollars that month.
It was.
No, he only offers Folgers. It's ridiculous.
You got to max out that credit card from Costco somehow. Yeah.
That was another big mistake because I originally signed up with a company that would provide, you know, the coffee pods and stuff. Big mistake. It's cheaper to go out and buy your own commercial unit and install it. You'll save tons of money. And then I use Amazon now, but, you know, 23 cents versus 30 cents a pod makes a big deal, especially when you're going through hundreds of cups of coffee a month and it's, that micro expense becomes a macro and you're like, oh, crap.
Whoops. That didn't make it into the plan.
I mean, there's all different kinds of things, and I'm sure some of this is really boring for folks, but, you know, that's
no, this really is real talk. That's what we're hearing.
Yeah,
so.
Was
another big mistake.
But oh yeah,
he's here. He's like an ingrown toenail that you could never get.
It just doesn't go away. I weaseled my way into his black decrepit heart.
Okay. At what point in that process did the podcast become a thing? And Jake, I want to get back to you also, but this seems like a natural tie-in, right? So you guys meet during this time that Launch and Go is happening. at what point are you guys like, hey, let's talk to people on the internet. This will great.
Jake was desperate to have guests on his show back then.
Yeah, so the whole,
he really lowered the bar and invited me to be on the show. So.
Yeah, the story is, so, you know, I had started the Beer and Business podcast with John Winnie, and, mm-hmm. you know, we're, you know, growing it, and we had been doing it for, what, about a year?
Yeah.
So we have been doing it about a year.
In your closet.
Yeah.
Outside the...
Dude, this podcast.
You got to keep it muffled. I get it.
It's started on a shoestring budget. And I go back and listen to the early stuff and I'm like, holy crap. But anyways, we interviewed Darren. So we wanted to talk to him about, you know, his you know, journey starting Launch and Go. And after interviewing him, he was really excited about the podcast. And he and I, you know, we started to develop a friendship and we were talking about the podcast and we shared mm-hmm. a vision for where this thing was going. And yeah. I'm like, dude, I know you sound like an idiot and can't talk, but why don't you be a host?
Right.
Well, that was fatal error number one, like, right?
It's no worse than me being on the show is what he really meant.
But no, yeah, in all seriousness.
We did it live here. We actually did
your episode live here.
Outside. I'm pointing out where she could see it. But yeah. We did it over there.
It was there.
Yeah.
But we, you know, in all seriousness, because he shared it and because I liked his story with entrepreneurialism, mm-hmm. and then we talked about, you know, creating a podcast studio that we could collaborate on up at Launch and Go and create, you know, an additional revenue opportunity. Like, there was all these things that started fitting.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, this has to work. We got to make this work. And so we did.
Yeah,
so that's the reason I'm still on the podcast is because he gets to use the podcast studio for free.
The podcast studio is there. I'm thinking about doing something like that here locally for us because I run a show. I've got a couple of friends that run a show that we want to start other shows, and then renting it out for all of the times that we're not using it just makes sense. And so it's just a matter of pulling together the assets and kind of the plan for that. So, but it's good. It's good. It's popular and it's getting more popular. The podcasting side.
Yeah. So, I mean, how many podcasts have we helped get started, Darren?
Oh,
I mean,
tons. Geez, that's something. A lot. We do that. We've got something called the Jumpstart Package.
Yep.
So we spend a day just, I mean.
Trying to talk people out of starting a podcast is typically honestly, what we do. That's it. But really getting people to think because a lot of people. One of the things that I think is interesting is what I really like in life is watching somebody talented make something difficult look easy. You know, so if you watch an athlete or a musician, they're like, you're like, wow, they're making that look easy.
Yeah.
The same walking.
Yeah. I mean, especially after a couple of whiskeys. I mean, but you know, the same can be said for podcasters. So you watch a talented podcaster and you're like, wow. But what I think a lot of people miss is like, there's a lot of work and, you know, talent and skills you have to develop to get there.
So
a lot of people are like, oh, wow, yeah, that looks cool. I can do that. It's like, that's like watching somebody play the piano and say, oh, yeah, I'm going to just start doing that. It's like, it's not that easy. This has taken us years to get here.
You've probably learned it. How long have you had your podcast now, Ryan?
Less than a year. Okay. Less than a year. So, but I've always done interviews of some sort, been in front of camera. Like, I learned the tech stack and all of that as I was going. So once I put it together, it was just a matter of figuring out the technical aspects.
Let me preface this, right?
Yeah.
So we would talk to people, you know, they would want to work with us as consultants on podcasts. Mm-hmm. And so we would talk to them and they'd have no technical ability, no real premise for the show. No idea how they would market it. They're not sure who their target audience is going to be, you know, on and on and on down the list. And it's like, and you just want to like get in front of the microphone? Like, what are you doing?
Right.
You know? And
so, what are you going to talk about?
Yeah. So we did. We helped a lot of people get disciplined about that launch strategy. And along the way we did. We actually talked some people out of starting some because, you know, they'd sit down like, oh, I want to do this podcast. And you know, when you got down into it and you told them like, this is work. And you went through everything. You're like, oh, I didn't know
not so fun
doing a
anymore.
Podcast was.
Yeah.
That's one of our free workshops that we do. So we honestly, you've had it a couple times and we sell out every time. It's like, you know, you want to do a podcast?
Sell out.
You know,
that's actually pretty cool. I'm going to make a note of that because that's something that,
Holy dude, every time we've done it, we've like packed the house. So we'll do a local event. We'll market it on Facebook. And it's basically an event for, you know, if you're interested in starting a podcast, you know, come learn from experienced podcasters. And they just, they're bonkers.
The best part of that is right at the end when we finish the whole session, we have everybody line up and we just kick them in the nuts one time because it's like, this is what,
this is what it's going
to
be like.
Like to do a podcast.
And being an entrepreneur. So it's one and the same.
Oh, you want to be an entrepreneur too? Hold on. You get two kicks.
Good luck.
What I do like what you just said there, you're like, you know, you've done tons of interviews with people, you know, the tech stack and everything. But I mean, we're the same way. We've been in the corporate world forever. Mm-hmm. We've done thousands of, you know, interviews with people for jobs.
Yeah.
It's not the same thing. I mean, Jake and I will finish an episode of the podcast and you probably feel the same way. And it's like our skills have gotten a lot better. You know, we'll have a certain guest on and we'll talk about it. And it's like, man, if we had this person on a year ago, they would have ran over us.
Oh, yeah.
Or 2 years ago, they would have ran over us because we didn't know how to
control the conversation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, and you
I'll give you a specific example. On your show, it was the esports revolution interview.
That's
where I can tell a interviewer knows how to handle a conversation because both of you were completely out of your element, as I would have been as well, because it's just something I don't know anything about. What questions do I ask? But y'all pulled the information from him.
He was talking about things like we would know what he's talking about. I was like, hold on. Whoa.
Nope. I remember I was on a walk and I'm listening to him and I'm like, what would I ask next? Like I'm always processing like that. But I was like, I have no idea where I would go. I'd be like, tell me about your childhood. So,
what's your biggest fear?
That was impressive. So, it just takes time. It takes time on the mic. That's it. There's no excuse for it.
Can I share something? Because I think this is really important for your listeners and your viewers because you're on YouTube too because you haven't gotten shadow banned like us.
It'll happen.
TBD.
Yeah. Just give it time. You will. But one of the things that I share with people a lot when we talk about the podcast that they don't realize is I actually worked on the Beer and Business podcast concept and everything about the podcast for a year before the first episode aired. That's one of the things when I tell people that, they're like, what? It's like, I went through, I did a lot of research. I did all the branding work. I had the show concept. And I did, for a year, I worked on this before ever sitting in front of a microphone.
Yeah.
And then that first episode still sucked.
It was
horrible.
And you did video too. This was before I came on. Oh. He and Mr. Winnie would, it'd be like, it was cool though.
The cheap beer challenge was hilarious.
Oh God, there is an episode out there on YouTube and they do the cheap beer challenge.
The cheap beer challenge is funny.
If you haven't seen it yet, Ryan, go.
All right, I'm going to check that out.
You got to search that out on YouTube. It's funny as shit.
Especially for somebody who brews, who's got an amazing, you know, brewery right there in their garage.
I have a feeling I'm going to take that episode. So cheap beer, what was it? Cheap beer challenge?
Cheap beer challenge. It is hilarious.
And I'll put that down in the notes too so folks can find it later.
Yeah,
that'll be cool.
Look it up on YouTube. It's funny.
And we've been through, since then, we've been through at least three iterations.
Yeah, no, more than that.
Your last one that you came up with, I didn't really care for it so much. And I tried, but it naturally digressed back to where we were, which is super comfortable, super effective, and I think it's the best format. And everybody we've had on – just about everybody we've had on the show is like, this is so different than what I thought. This has been a lot of fun, informative. You guys let me talk. You're not trying to push me in a certain direction. And when Jake came to, you know, he said, listen, this is where we're going to go. We got rid of show notes, which is – you know, I'm glad we didn't get show notes from you. It's like, hey, these are the questions we're going to talk about. We give our guests enough information about the show. We hope that they listen.
Yeah.
You know, because that's the last thing. All of a sudden, somebody who hasn't listened, it's like you could see the deer in the headlights. It's like, oh, my God, these guys are, you know, sarcastic and cutting up.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, we're going to talk about business, but you're just going to have to deal with our bullshit in between.
Well, that's kind of that's the whole value proposition of the podcast.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
You know, we want people to be entertained. And it is. It's a lot of work. And as Darren said, one of the things that has kind of been a hallmark for us is our ability to not have like the sacred cows. And we have changed the format of the show many times.
Yeah.
Because we listen to the fans. We have unbelievably loyal fans. Dude, we have fans that have listened to every single episode. And we've had
– Yeah, we have. Reysa Chandler, yeah, for I mean, one, who is
– Wow. On the show to you. Yeah. Yeah.
Like that to me, I'm so humbled by that because we do long form, you know, so somebody that's listened to every episode of the podcast has literally invested probably 300 hours of their
I was
life.
Just going to say 300 or 400 hours. Yep.
Yeah, it's insane amount of time.
Hopefully they are not listening to it while their children are in the car and it's being piped over the speakers.
Yeah, you don't want Darren.
Who's Nick Nolte, Mom? Yeah.
Jesus Christ, yeah. That's a terrible answer. Yeah, just so you guys know, I didn't we'll get Nick there. Nolte on the podcast.
But just inform me he's got Hillary Clinton down. I can't wait to
Hillary call me now.
Ironically, she sounds a lot like Nick Nolte. there you go, YouTube. Bye-bye.
Better suits, too. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Goodbye. Goodbye, YouTube fans. But, yep.
Seriously, kind of going back to it, like those loyal fans that have been with us from the beginning that have gone back and listened to all these episodes, mm-hmm. when they tell you stuff – Dude, you listen.
Yeah.
Like if they say, man, I would love it if you guys did this. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay. And it's hard, dude. It's really hard because the one thing about podcasting – so, you know, Darren and I both have other businesses. But the thing about podcasting is you're engaging your creative side.
And yes.
That's much more emotional, right? You get into
I'm
something
about
where
to cry.
Yeah. I mean, you pour your heart and soul into something. You give it everything you got. You get really vulnerable because the one thing – if you've never done a podcast, the one thing you have to understand is it's very vulnerable. Like you put yourself out there and it is extremely uncomfortable. I'm a very social guy. And when somebody that I know very closely is like, hey, I just found your podcast and I started listening, I get really like, oh, shoot. Like, what are you going to say?
Yeah.
And so you put yourself out there and you put all this heart and soul and all this work into it. And when somebody tells you, I'd really like it if you're different, it's to you to not take that personally and say, thanks for the feedback, and actually go back and say,
oh my gosh,
what can we do different?
We've had we've had people call us, text us, email us after they've left. Good bourbon.
I swear he
listened
can talk.
To an episode. And I mean, I was. We had, she had 4-time cancer survivor.
Oh.
Why can't I remember her name right now?
We'll remember.
And we had her on the podcast.
Yeah.
And it was, I was driving down to Florida at that time. I had somebody call me and say, listen to your episode. And she's like, and I want to photograph this woman that you just had on the show.
Oh, that's
so
wonderful.
She's a professional photographer.
Dude. Yeah.
Leticia.
Yeah, Leticia Andretti was the photographer.
She was the photographer. And she's like, please put me in touch with her. I want to do a free session and photograph her. And I was like, all right. And she was basically had been moved to tears by our episode. All of a sudden, I'm driving. I'm starting to get
Darren
crying.
Calls me. We're both crying on the goddamn phone.
I mean, I'm like, I had to pull over. I was just like bawling. I couldn't even see. I'm like, there's a rest stop, anything just to move over. I mean,
we're talking on the phone. You crying, dude? No, I'm not crying.
No, I'm not crying. You're crying.
I'm not crying. I'm bawling my eyes out right now. Jesus. We talked to another person.
Two things come to mind as you're talking about that. So with a podcast, there's only so much time that you can front. As like, oh, this is my podcast personality. I'm going to turn the voice on and so and so. Like, they're going to figure out who you really are, especially if you're on the spot trying to figure out what to ask next or pull new information out of a guest who isn't naturally chatty, like obviously the three of us are. Okay. Like those lulls, that's when you get that like, oh, crap, my head starts getting really hot. Like, okay, what's next? It's on me. And so people are going to see the real me. And then on the feedback side, I completely agree. I would say for somebody that is out there, you can't listen to all of the advice that people are trying to give you. Wait till you start seeing patterns. But once you see patterns, like two or three people have asked you Hey, that segment is kind of boring. I try to fast forward. It's like, well,
Can I add to that?
Yeah,
I think you're absolutely right. Because, you know, some people will like give you feedback like, oh, I think you should do this. And they're not a fan, you know, and it's like, why should I listen to you? But here's the one thing I will tell you. If somebody that you know is a super fan, they love what you're doing, and they tell you, you should probably give them a little bit more credence than somebody else that you're like, not even sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you're right, dude. There's a lot of haters out there. There's a lot of people that are like, oh, that's – dude, can I tell you something?
Yeah.
Little sidebar. Well, this is funny. When I first came up with the concept for Beer in Business, it was about 5 years ago, I started calling around to like a lot of friends and mentors and people that I was, you know, close to. And I said, hey, I got this idea for a podcast because, you know, business podcasts are all kind of like in this box. And I'm like, I'm thinking about doing something where, you know, you like have the conversation over a beer and I do comedy and stuff and make people laugh. And, you know, I'm telling people about this idea and they're like, dude, that's the dumbest thing I have ever heard. Like, don't do that. You're going to make yourself look like an idiot. You're going to ruin your reputation, all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, okay. And every single person I talked to gave me the same advice, which told me I was onto something. Right. I'm so stupid. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, that's the right conclusion to come to. It's working, though. Funny. But I started a business podcast. Everybody has a business podcast, so it's how to make it unique.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Well, let me give you the punchline here. So this is what's hilarious. So after we finally got this thing launched off the ground, we start growing it. You know, Darren gets involved. You know, we're getting to that point now. We're getting attention. I talk to the same people like, dude, that is brilliant.
Yeah.
It's like, man, you talked to me 3 years ago and told me that was the dumbest idea you ever heard.
Same people that said the heated toilet seat wouldn't be a thing, right?
Like, so it's like,
of course it is. Well, we have somebody else. I mean, another friend of ours, they're like, I just don't like long format.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, well,
it's not for everyone.
Segments, you know, it doesn't mean, and that's what we tell people. It's not like the radio, it doesn't disappear.
I had somebody tell me not long ago, they're like, you know, long format podcasts just do not work. And I said, you understand the number one podcast in the world is long format, much longer than ours, right?
And he's getting a lot of hate right now, but it's not for his long form. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, dude, he's got like 10x the audience of CNN.
Join
his long form. It's like,
Here's the thing. I need, Ryan, to do two things. I got to get ice from my glass. And as usual, as you know, from
our Darren's going to pee. So
the potty break.
And I can talk.
So you should ask Jake about his business now and how.
That's what's next. Cool. Yeah.
All right. I'll be back.
Okay. Top me off while you're out there. Jake. Yes. I didn't even think we'd talk about the podcast, but it makes perfect sense because that's what we both do. So now now everybody knows more than they wanted to know. let's switch to your primary business is in real estate, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
Tell me how you started that, how you got into it, and what you're doing now.
So I have been a serial entrepreneur. My first real opportunity to make money as an adult. I had started a business when I was 18 years old.
Good for you. What was it?
And it was a technology business. And I had no freaking clue what I was doing.
Yeah.
None whatsoever. But I actually built a business with employees and all this stuff. And it's kind of a long story. And I won't bore you with that. But I spent 15
years
at AT&T.
I'll take
your word for it. Yeah. I spent 15 years at AT&T. And I worked my way up to chief operating officer for Cricket Wireless, which is a subsidiary of AT&T.
I remember them.
And
they're still around. Yeah.
Yeah, they're still around.
Yeah. They rebranded.
They did during the acquisition that I was a part of, which is kind of interesting. But
I bet those were interesting times. Yeah.
Oh, dude, crazy. We could have a whole podcast on that alone. But what happened was in 2014 –
okay.
Or maybe it was 2015. I can't remember when it was. It could have been either one of those years. I was a chief operating officer for Cricket Wireless. I was working my tail off. I did not feel connected to my core, to my faith and my values and where I was in life. And I was working all the time. And so Saturday morning, I wake up and my 5-year-old daughter sits on the couch next to me and she asked me if I would move in with her.
Oh.
Now, my wife and I have been married for a long time, have a great marriage. I've never not lived at home.
Yeah. But
my 5-year-old daughter did not think I lived there because I was gone so much. You know, during the week, I would leave before anybody got out of bed. I was the first one out the door. And then I would get home so late that the kids were already in bed. I get to see my wife for a few minutes before we conked out. Like I was burning it out, man. I was traveling a lot. And I said, enough. This is not me. Absolutely not. So we did a whole life reset. At that point, I decided I'm leaving the company. This is not good for me. This is not what I want to do. My wife and I wanted to buy land and just completely reset our entire lives. We did. We absolutely did.
That's awesome. Yeah, because everybody feels like they want to do that, but actually the trigger is a different story.
And it was not a smart financial move. screw it. I'm leaving. We're going to buy another place. And, you know, the way that the housing market was, it may not have been the smartest move at that time, but whatever.
There's never a perfect time.
In my core, I'm like, this is what we have to do, and we're just going to do it. I don't know how, but we're just going to do it. And we did.
Yeah.
And part of that was I did not want to work for a big company anymore. I didn't want to travel anymore. I wanted to be my own business owner. Mm-hmm. And the real estate industry just kind of fell in our lap because my wife had been a licensed real estate agent since 2003.
Okay.
I had done a bunch of commercial real estate for AT&T. So that's like one thing that we could both do. And it's like, that's an easy business for us both to get into. Easy. And if you're not watching us, air quotes here. And we decided to go for it. And in the beginning, it was just, let's become real estate agents and, you know, sell some houses and just be able to make a living. Mm-hmm. And then we'll figure the rest out.
Just
and
exist. Yeah.
Right. That was it. Like, I don't want to work for a big company. So let's just figure out if we can maintain our lifestyle as business owners, being out on our own. And, you know, 3 years later, we have a team of 28 real estate agents and we've just exploded. So kind of crazy how we got into it, but it was just a calling, man. It was just a deep calling. Like, I was not in the right place.
Yeah.
And so happy that we did it. Now, I will tell you, that was not an easy road. Lots of bumps and bruises and scar tissue and, you know, curled up in the corner in a fetal position crying.
Yep.
But, you know, here we are.
I feel that deeply. I was in corporate America for a decade. And so corporate sales, it's a lot of work. And there were days, just like you said, where I was on the road before the kids are up and I got home after they got back. It didn't sound like it was that as crazy as yours was, but it was time. I'm part of the Great Resignation officially. So
good for you,
man. It's good. Yeah, it's good. But that means like I'm home. Yeah. The flip side to that is I don't have a co-working space nearby where I can go hide from my family that I'm now around all the time. So when my pterodactyls are tearing each other apart right outside of my office door, that's the soundproofing foam things that I put up is like a Band-Aid on a gushing aorta. So
call them pterodactyls.
Yeah. So funny. I got a few pterodactyls.
Yeah, I think I have to say pterodactyls because people don't like the word crotch goblins. But either way, they're there. Blood yep. And we homeschool too, so they're always home. Yeah.
All right, we're taking good. Lunch and go to your hometown, buddy.
Yep.
We'll open count them up me out in. There. Let's do it.
I like it. All right, gents. Well, so. Let's go. I've got a few more minutes here that we can pick your brain. So Darren, what's one thing that you're trying to work through now? Like, what's a bottleneck that you're trying to solve for? This is what people clue into the show for because they want to preempt these issues.
Jake,
you want to go first?
Go first.
Yeah. Right.
So for me, the big issue is scale. Right. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, any entrepreneur that's listening to this, one of the hardest things you're ever going to do is to transition from doing to leading. Because when you start your own business, it's different than when you're in a job. When you're in a job, it's because I've done both, dude. It's very easy to delegate. Well, at least it was for me. Not some people just have a problem with delegation across the board. But for me, when I was in corporate America, delegating was easy. Delegating,
putting things off onto other people. Yeah, whatever you want to call it. Yeah,
of course.
That's not my job. Yeah,
Throwing things at people, whatever. but I have really struggled with that as a business owner because, when it's your time, treasure, effort, blood, sweat, tears, 7 days a week, every ounce of energy you've had into building something, and you're like, oh, this is the way that we do it, relinquishing that control to somebody, geez, man.
Just even on the podcast.
So hard.
So we've discussed doing merchandise for the podcast, right? And every time I bring it up, Jake's like, I got it. You know, we'll get there eventually. We'll do this. And I've been relentless about it. And finally, about a month ago, he's like, fine, go ahead. You can take that over.
Yeah.
And it's like,
yeah,
there you go. How difficult was that? How much better do you feel now? Now, we still don't have merchandise.
With Darren, not good at all.
On Ollie.
But seriously, man, that's one of the biggest thing. It's first of all, it's the relinquishing control. And then it's going from what's up here in your head to creating systems and processes.
Yeah.
And,
because
like I just finished, like, when I onboard an agent, it's a process. And it used to be me like walking through every piece of that. And I'm like sitting there looking at like, oh my God, every time I onboard an agent, I'm spending like, 10 to 20 hours per agent.
No doubt.
The hell is that time going to come from the more that it scales?
Yeah.
I just finished automating it all. Oh my gosh, man. That's a game changer, dude.
Yeah.
Even on the real estate side, and he's the agent and I handle all the transactions. When you finally just said, take it all over. Once you get the deal done, signed, everything, and let me run with it from there. Mm-hmm. How much time did that free you up?
Oh my God, tremendous!
It was life changing. Why didn't I do this sooner?
Yep. Yep.
And
I'm a huge fan of automation too. So delegation or automation, like that was the difference between me deciding, oh, should I just start teaching brewing courses or should I just record it and make that passive income? Mm-hmm. Big difference. Decision.
And depending on the business you're in, I think it's easy for everybody to say, but when you're in the moment and it's your business and you went from the depths of hell, because, dude, I'm going to tell you, like anybody, if you're listening to this podcast, you're thinking about starting a business, like you may be lucky, but most of us go through absolute hell.
Yeah.
Getting to where we're at.
All seven gates.
Yes. All of the gates.
And then
when you finally get there, you're like, I'm not going back to that place. Mm-hmm. I'm not going back. Because, dude, I risked everything. I risked my house, my truck. I risked it all.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to go back to that place of extreme stress. I don't want to feel like it's on the line again. So that's why it's hard. That's why it's hard to let those things go and think about the business differently and scale. But if you do, it's very freeing, and that's the key that you have to unlock. Yeah.
For me, I don't know. I mean, mine's different. I have a new business partner with, these new offices that I'm opening. So the dynamic of that has been very rewarding, but also a challenge in itself.
Yeah.
The good thing is there is a trust factor is a big deal.
So if I can explain for people, like Darren owns 100% of Launch and Go, but now he's doing this hyper growth and he's got partners in some of these new locations.
Yep.
And so that's a different business model for him. Mm-hmm. It's different dynamics.
It's huge. And you learn to adjust very quickly with that. And it's like trusting somebody you really don't know. But our relationship, I would have bailed if it wasn't if we both weren't going in the same path and
learning
the same thing. And all of a sudden, this new business partner I have is like, great, we got the first one. And originally when we were talking, it's like, maybe we can open, two new ones by the end of the year. And what we're looking at for 2022 is four.
Yikes.
Four new offices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of makes you. That's a lot.
The backside of the that's a lot. Here. It's like a constitution check.
Got any diapers?
But yeah.
What's been difficult and an arduous process in the beginning is getting all the processes in place. Mm-hmm. So I learned enough when I opened up my business. I know when I move forward, I do this with consulting too for co-working offices. It's like, let me help you not make the mistakes I did.
Yes.
I've learned that and I've listened to myself. And so when we're launching this new office, gone through a lot of those hurdles much easier. But so, you know, three more offices this year, I'm like, yeah, it should be
pretty
easy now that I've got it down. So well, it's been a big challenge.
When I'm helping somebody try and figure out a business plan, whether it's for their software project or just whatever brand they're trying to launch, that's one of the first things is you cannot scale something that you don't have standard operating procedures for. You simply cannot. If you are the bottleneck that has to take the phones to make the appointments, I don't care what business you run, you're the problem. there's ways forward.
Can I make a comment on that too? Because I think a lot of times – you know, if you talk to a new entrepreneur or somebody that's like ramping up, they hear that kind of stuff and they're like, oh my God, I got to have like this massive employee handbook and all this stuff written down.
No.
It's not standard operating procedures and ways that work gets done. It can be simple, but just documented and expectations set. Like a lot of the things that I have is what you would call standard operating procedure for our real estate business. Is me explaining it in a YouTube video.
It could be even as simple as we use Calendly for calendar events. Right. Like that's your SOP. Like don't get on the phone, spend 25 emails. Here's my link. Pick something that works for you. Sorry if it's 2 weeks from now.
It is something. I'll tell you what, we both share our trials and tribulations pretty much every day, Jake and I. As we go through this process, it's just like you got a snippet of that last week when we were discussing creating, you know, a new back office software system. And
yeah.
I sent you that checklist and I'm sure you're like, the conversation was one thing and then you see it on the checklist and how I vetted out every other company before.
I was impressed. Oof. Yeah. So, most of the clients when I make first contact
with a conversation with Darren?
No, with the spreadsheet. The anal retentiveness of the spreadsheet is what I was impressed with. It happens all the time though. I'll talk to somebody and I'm like, "Hey, look, the thing you think is a good idea is not a good idea. I'm sorry. Let me help you back into something that makes sense, but this is not a good idea yet." So, and you're calling their baby ugly, but you did your homework and now you know. Okay. And that gives somebody who can do custom software an exact, like, this is what we need. And that's the best part of a discovery process for any business is that you get to be in a position where I'm Michael Scott. Like, explain this to me like I know nothing. And we get to pull that out of the site, out of the experts, and then we can go execute it. But if you're ever in a situation where somebody's doing a discovery and they know it all, run for the hills.
I think Jake and I have both been through a discovery with you.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it was professional.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was very insightful. And you know, I would highly encourage anyone who's thinking about launching their own software, and which is probably a good thing in some aspects.
Yeah.
And maybe some ways not, but it is worth having a conversation with you and the rest of your partners in the company.
What pisses me off, dude, is like you cannot freaking buy software anymore. Everything's subscription. And it's, I mean, it is so damn expensive. And so, you know, that's where the whole, like, do you develop your own? And it's like, when you look at the business model, like it can very easily make sense to do your own thing.
But
freaking everything. And dude, can I rail on this for just a second?
I've got a hard stop in 13 minutes, but yes.
So here's one thing that pisses me off.
He's got more rapid fire questions.
I know, but I'm going to tell you one thing that pisses me off. So I have the Adobe suite. Uh-huh. And every year Adobe changes, like they up
how they do it.
Air quotes again.
Yeah.
So I just got the freaking updates, and I got, you know, I use Premiere. I'll be goddamned if I can't figure shit out now.
I'm like, I know.
Why are you – first of all, you charge me every year a shit ton of money, and now I don't know how to use the damn thing because you moved all the stuff.
Right.
It's super complicated.
So oh, same thing.
I'm looking at you, you sons of bitches. Stop it.
Yeah, Ryan's going to get a big fat check from Adobe because it's been mentioned on his show. What's your next question, Ryan, please?
Well, let's move into the speed round. This has been fantastic. And more to come, I'm sure, because this is fun. We could pick any number of topics and just go off for an hour. So let's do it again sure. Let's switch into the speed round. Short questions, short answers, and I'll just have both of you answer for each one. Well, that's what she said. Yeah.
That was the joke when they were asking in a book I read really quick, and they're like, dude, you know, it's anyway, the guy's like, yeah, I told him I was 6 inches, and they said, well, you got to, you know, tell people that you're bigger. He goes, no, I already did. I exaggerated. It's twice my size. And he was an undercover agent out there on the strip. I backed into that one so bad.
I don't know what we're talking about anymore.
Anyway.
Darren Flanagan, folks, ahead. Make sure you send your inquiries to him. Not me. I'm Jake.
Ryan, go. Quickly.
What is one thing business people and entrepreneurs should stop wasting time on?
Crying.
Well, fair enough. Yeah. You'll run out of hot water before you know it.
I don't know how to stop crying. Yeah. What do you think, man? What should people stop wasting time on?
Wasting time on? Trying to do it all themselves. Delegate.
Amen.
Give it to somebody else quicker. Okay. Mm-hmm. Accounting, marketing, whatever it is, whatever you think you can actually control yourself, pay somebody to do it sooner than later so you can actually work on growing that business. You will receive like tenfold exponentially on your income to offset those expenses.
So my answer is I think people should stop wasting time on perfection. One of the problems with entrepreneurs is that they know the craft that they want to get into really well.
Yep.
Whether it's plumbing or whatever business they're getting into, they know one thing really well. And we're all our worst critics. And so what I see so many entrepreneurs do is try, like they expect and expend so much effort and time to make something perfect.
Yeah, don't do it.
And you know what? I had a mentor tell me, a very well-respected mentor tell me at one point, they can see you doing that, Darren.
Speak a little faster. He's got 13 minutes.
Know,
he's
going to hard we're gonna stop. Get done.
And you're like,
we're good. We're good.
I'm going to slow down my speak.
Darren, this is the wisdom. So screw off for a minute. I had a really good mentor tell me once, good enough is good enough.
Yep.
And it was one of those things that was like, oh, man. It just like – it hit me like a ton of bricks.
Mm-hmm.
So many entrepreneurs spend way too much time. Like if you get to 90, 95%, it's probably enough. Go.
Yep.
That's what he told his wife when she proposed when he proposed to her. Good enough is good enough. Okay?
Just good enough. Settle.
Okay enough is okay enough.
Settle and settle hard. Yeah.
Just get a prenup.
I'm gonna get married.
What is it? Seth Godin or Simon Sinek? One of them is just the whole thing. Just ship it. Like,
yep.
It's never going to be perfect. Just ship it.
That's Godin who said that. All right.
Yep. All right. Next question. What is one thing that you hate doing but you have to do anyway?
Oh,
mine is putting pants on in the morning. I don't like it.
I almost said wipe my ass, but I figured that was – what is one thing that I hate doing but I have to do?
So for me, it's like the administrative side of the business, accounting, taxes, you know, record keeping. Like there's certain things.
Yeah.
I'm just like, dude, I don't want to do it, but I know it's important.
Of course.
I know I've got to do it and I spend time on it, but I don't like it. I don't like it at all. And how many times have we talked about this with entrepreneurs? Like, you know, dude, you may be really good at one thing and you may have skills. You may not understand how to use Excel or you may not be very good with numbers, but you better figure out how to be good enough and find people that can help you because it's required. Like, All the things in a business you have to do, whether or not you like it or not.
Stepping out of working in the business and into working on the business, knowing the difference. Yeah.
Oh, man. I guess there's two. I mean, one is having to remember to record my mileage when I'm driving to give it to my accountant. But the other one, honestly, that hopefully none of my members actually listen to the show, but dealing
with people,
you know, I hate, no, not dealing with people, but there's a lot of ticky tack things that you have to deal with folks. You
sure. know,
people are people. What's important to them is not important to you, but it's still important, right? And mm-hmm. you, knowing that you actually have to, you got to put on your kid gloves and deal with that each day.
And it's getting harder.
Well, that's what she said.
No, that's actually not at all what she said.
But anyway, it's, you know, it is getting.
Is that it?
It's getting more yeah. difficult. That's my difficult thing because I deal with my members every day, all the people. And it's some of the things that I see as very a benign request.
Yeah.
That they want, or it's something that's a riff for them. It's like, dude, just get over it. It's not a, you know, that big of a deal, but it is to them. So mm-hmm. how do I balance that out? You know, balancing that out with our customers, any customer in any business, you have to deal with that. You may think it's nothing, but to them, it's something, and that's why they're talking about it. And
yeah.
the other fact is I just had somebody tell me, they're like, well, why didn't that person just come directly to me? And it's like, because it's not your business. Mm-hmm. Okay. They came to me because they're more comfortable. And now I'm coming to you to discuss this. And this was between two different members. And it's like, it's just a thing, you know, mm-hmm. I have to validate their reasoning for why they might have a gripe or complaint or something that they want to express to me. And they might not be comfortable enough to do it otherwise. So let me be the mediator, you know.
And Phyllis's perfume is too strong again. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know. Yep. All right, gents, last question. What is your favorite social media platform and where can people find you?
Oh, is this a trick question?
Two things.
I don't know.
So
it is a trick question. Yeah.
I don't like any of them.
We have multiple we're on like all podcast platforms to find Beard Up Business.
The website's beer.business, www.beer.business. Yes, that is our domain name.
The cool thing yep. is if you think
bastards,
you know, if you think you're good enough to be on the show, you probably are because our bar is set really low.
If well, you took me, host, you can yeah. be on. Yeah.
And you can, there's a button to clank, you know, request to be on the show. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite social media platform?
Right now, I'm really interested in these new free speech platforms because I'm not from a political standpoint, just in general, I'm not mm-hmm. okay with censorship at all. So, you know, there's a couple that have come out, Parler, Getter. There's a new one, Truth Social. That's
Getter was a dating site for men.
No, Getter is a damn social media site.
Getter.
He's a verified user.
Getter. Getter.
Oh, not G-E-T-H-E-R.
You can follow me on there. You can't follow Darren because Darren doesn't even know what the hell it is.
I'm not there.
But I like those. I'm disgusted with Facebook. I'm disgusted with Twitter. I don't like the fact that, you know, everybody listening to this right now is going to know exactly what I'm talking about. I have friends, family members, people that I really – you know, care about. I haven't seen them in my news feed in years.
Right.
Facebook, Twitter, what the hell's wrong with you? You
know, because it's not inciting anger and frustration and more engagement. They don't care.
You.
Yep.
You know, so that's why I do not like what these platforms have become. That's disgusting. Mm-hmm. I would love to have the option to just see everybody that I'm friends with in chronological order. That used to be a thing with Facebook and they took it away.
Here's not so much anymore.
You can unfriend all these other people. Or
it doesn't matter. I still may not see the
other cool thing is that I do where it says, you know, something pops up and I'm like, you know what? I don't want to see anything from this person for the next 30 days. Unclick, boom, gone. I don't know
that's
if that
too
helps.
Much work.
I don't do a lot on social media. I mean, we do what we have to for business.
Yeah.
But Ryan, I will tell you, we had an episode where we sat down and said, we took social media off of our phones. We removed the app, and we spend as little time as possible on there for those reasons.
This, and if you're not watching, I'm pointing to Darren and I. This is social media.
I love it.
This and is you social media. Yeah.
Is better Darren
and
social
I,
media.
Yeah. Darren and I sitting down next to the fire pit, drinking bourbon, talking shit at each other because that's what we do. That's social media.
Right.
It's old
that's
school.
My favorite I love it. Social media.
Yep. All right, guys. I'll put links to your specific businesses, to your obviously not the socials, but to beer.business.
We may not respond on social.
Yeah, we're on Twitter, yeah. Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn if you want to.
Accepting random friend requests so we can flood your timeline.
What is your favorite social media platform, by the way?
Yeah, Ryan.
I'm growing my Instagram mostly to promote the beer brewing course. So if you go find. Yeah. It's a Big Pop Brewing and I just breached 2000 and I've been at it for about 6 months and, yeah, it's going well. So, that's where I hang out.
Graham is all about images
and reels. And so I'm just going to start going through like BJCP beer styles. What is a black IPA? How's it made? And I'm just going to make a little reel of me explaining what it is and see if that gets traction.
Examples of that.
Send we need a keg.
I can do that. Hey, I'm going to a brewing and distilling course in Tennessee in April, so I'll be closer to you.
So in Tennessee.
I'm just going to say, if that's you would ship me a keg,
dude,
I would ship you back money. I'm just saying, bro. Just saying. I don't know if that's legal or
let's
not.
Make
let's
make it happen.
Figure that out.
Let's make it happen.
Venmo, Cash App it, App Pay, whatever the hell. We could do it.
This wouldn't.
Yeah,
I'm just kidding. This wouldn't happen for real.
This has become his longest podcast he's ever done.
I know. This I really like gotta go. I love you guys, right, and more to come next time. Let's do a whole episode on just launching a podcast. I want to do that.
Awesome, man. We're
and share that with both of our audiences. So, thank you so much, ladies and gents. I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. I'm not going to apologize for the tangents because they were hilarious and you got to have that in your ear holes. So there it is. I will catch you guys next time. See ya.
Mahalo. Peace.